My guest at this time is Fred Zolak of the Workforce Fairness Institute. We've asked him to join us today to offer some insight into the role that organized labor might possibly be playing into the backlog of claims at the VA. It was just about a year ago that Senators Rob Portman of Ohio and Tom Coburn of Oklahoma wrote a letter to Veterans Affairs Secretary Eric Shinseki, worried that folks employed by the VA were actually spending much of their time doing union work, even though they were being paid to do work for the VA. And Fred, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
This is called official time. Let's start by having you explain to folks what official time means and how folks getting paid to do one job actually end up doing spending a lot of time doing another job.
Yeah, official time is the euphemism for government employees doing the business of their labor union rather than doing the work of the government and getting paid with your tax money. Different departments allow different amounts, but even an hour of your time shouldn't be funded by tax dollars if they're doing the work of the union. That's what the union is supposed to pay for.
And how many employees, generally speaking, are either in unions or engaging in this official time?
Well, in the private sector, there aren't many people engaged in anything having to do with the union, maybe 6 or 7% of the entire workforce in the private sector. But in the government, it's, you know, a vast majority of the people are unionized. You know, it depends on which department you're in, how, you know, busy they might be on the union clock, but sort of having the attention divided in two different directions. If you're a union official, go be a union official. If you're a government official, go be a government official, but don't wear both hats.
And which unions are, by and large, the ones mostly involved in terms of federal employees?
Oh, there's a whole bunch of them. You know, the postal workers have their own union, and the Treasury Department workers have their own, and air traffic controllers used to have a union until they were decertified. So there's lots of them, and they all have different rules, but it's all still our money. You know, the government shouldn't be allowing this in any instance.
Does the VA have its own union for the workers, or are they part of some larger organization like AFSCME?
They could be part of AFSCME. I'm not sure exactly which union covers the VA. But then, you know, many of these employees are also covered by civil service. So, you know, they have sort of two levels of protection, and that might be why some of these VA employees were, you know, just so ambivalent about the whole thing and were just providing such substandard care. They're almost impossible to fire under civil service rules, and then they've got a union going to bat for them as well, so they kind of feel like they can get away with almost anything.
Is there any way to quantify how much of an impact this official time, this work for the union, is having on productivity at the federal level and even specifically at the VA? We know there's been obviously been a huge backlog problem at the VA for years, and it's obviously gotten a lot worse lately with folks even being forced to wait until they're dead before the VA even addresses them. So what can we know for sure about the impact this particular problem is having on the overall problem?
It's almost impossible to quantify because we're not even sure that they're properly reporting all of the official time that they're taking. They might be putting down that they did 3 hours of union business, but really it was an entire day. And so it's tough to tell whether, you know, this is having a major effect throughout the federal workforce. I would suspect that it is being underreported, and the value of, you know, the time that's being given away to the unions is probably dramatically higher than what we know. What we do know, though, is that the level of care our veterans are getting is unbelievably poor. And to have to, their goal is to see you within 14 days. And even that seems awfully long if you're suffering from, you know, some condition related to your combat duty. And, you know, it's just shameful. But, you know, the scary thing is that the VA is what some people want the entire healthcare system to look like. A single-payer healthcare system where everybody works for the government. And now we can see exactly how that would work. We can see with our own eyes here that the level of care that our veterans are getting is what they have in mind for all of America.
Fred, what kind of work do these people generally do for their unions on official time? It seems like a lot of people. What work needs to be done?
You know, there's sort of mediation when it comes to disciplinary action. You know, workers can file grievances over how they were treated or why they didn't get a promotion. There is legitimate work for somebody to be doing if you're going to represent employees, but employees pay a fair amount of union dues. You would think that people who are on the union's payroll would be doing that kind of work and not somebody who's working for the government.
Why is the government okay with this? Why do they allow official time at all?
Because the unions oftentimes control the government. So then they're kind of negotiating with themselves. They're negotiating with the people that they got elected. And so obviously they're getting a pretty good deal.
Just yesterday, the House of Representatives passed new legislation by a lopsided vote, 390-33, that would give the Veterans Affairs Secretary, in this case General Shinseki, the power to fire and demote senior executives for incompetence, lack of performance, and so forth. A, what do you make of that legislation? And B, what do you make of the fact that Shinseki and others at the VA didn't want it to pass?
Yeah, almost have to scratch your head and think about this, but why do we have to pass a special law to allow the senior managers of these departments to fire incompetent employees? Why isn't that the law? Why can't you get rid of anybody when they're doing something so crazy? And the idea that the secretary opposes having that authority is mind-boggling.
Is the answer because of what you mentioned before between civil service and different unions? It's pretty hard to root people out even if they aren't doing their job?
Well, yeah, and the fact that he still has his job is kind of an outrage. The fact that the Secretary of Health and Human Services had the most spectacular meltdown you could possibly have with Obamacare and held on to her job as long as she wanted it just shows that there's no matter how badly you fail in this administration, there's still a place for you.
Given the lopsided vote, it seems plausible, at least, if Harry Reid allows a vote on this legislation, that it could pass the Senate as well, especially given all the attention to the issue right now. The question is, if the Veterans Affairs Secretary has this authority, which you believe he should have had all along, do you think he's likely to exercise it in the way that these lawmakers are intending it?
You know, he's just approaching this whole thing in such a lackadaisical manner. This whole thing started to be talked about a year ago, and there just doesn't seem to be any urgency to get it fixed. It's hard to believe that people can wait on a waiting list for so long that they actually die. We joke about that kind of thing happening in places like England or maybe Canada, but when it's happening to our own, you know, military veterans, it's very upsetting. And he doesn't seem to be taking it very seriously. There's just a culture in the Obama administration, it seems like, of not being urgent, not running toward the problem. And so they let Obamacare crash and burn. Now we've got the whole veterans medical system crashing and burning, and no one seems super motivated to just get it fixed.
Fred, last question. Do you think legislation like this is the most effective thing that Congress can do to address the official time issue? And given how difficult it is to quantify how much that actually contributes to the problem, is there any indication that this will be addressed on any other level?
There's 0% chance, as long as Harry Reid is the majority leader in the Senate, that we'll ever get rid of official time. His devotion to the unions is absolute, and there would have to be a change in power in that House of Congress. But it's a no-brainer. We are borrowing money from foreign countries to pay our bills. It's not like we've got spare money lying around. We should be having every single minute of a government employee's time focused on government's business, not the union's business.
Fred, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
That's Fred Zolak of the Workforce Fairness Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WND.com.